I wanted to continue the series on fellowship. What is fellowship? What is community? Do you know that you were created for fellowship? You were created for community? None of us were created to be by ourselves and go life alone. We just were not built that way. Now, some of us may be a little introverted. I met at District Summit a few weeks ago, a pastor that's pastoring a church of like 6,000 people who professes to be an introvert. An introverted pastor, I've never heard of that before. But the thing is, he said, I have to force myself to be social because I'm part of a bigger thing, bigger than myself. I'm part of a community of believers. And you guys are the same. You are not by yourself. You are part of a community of believers here at New Freedom Church. Amen?
Amen.
Because we all believe and are together as well, having these things in common. How many of you guys have ever been to California before? All right. I've never been to California. But how many of you guys ever went down to the park and you've seen these huge redwood trees? Massive things. Yes. I mean, they're humongous, bigger than life. You know, they're the largest living thing on earth, is the redwood tree. Some of them reach 300 feet tall. Some of them are 2,500 years old. I mean, there's some humongous trees. I would love to see those. How many of you guys have seen them? A few? I mean, they're massive, aren't they? I can only imagine what they look like with me just standing there in person touching the things. I mean, they're just huge. And you would think that these redwood trees, these massive redwood trees, would have miles deep worth of root system. But they don't. Their root system is shallow, very shallow. That blew my mind when I was researching this. And what I realized was that in this forest, when all the trees are grouped together, their roots are shallow, but they're interwound with one another. So that when the storms of life come, when the rain is beating down, when the winds are blowing, they're knitted together. They're woven together by their root system. Supporting one another, building up each other. They need each other to survive, and so do we. Amen? We need each other. Let me bring a revelation to you. Do you know that you're not stubborn enough? Let's let that soak in for a second. You're not strong enough. Now, some of you going, you don't know my husband. guilty.
I don't know this one.
You know this one? She just showed up with you, right? Well, the truth of the matter is that we're not strong enough either. Neither are we cunning enough. We can't love enough. We don't have enough strength to go through life alone. That's a revelation to some people, but it's the truth. God never created us to be lone rangers in this life. He created us for fellowship. He created us for community. And God has given us this funky little thing called the church. This crazy little imperfect, sometimes ball of a mess called the church. And he's put in the church people that have been hurt, that have been wounded in life, that some have been very successful in life. Some are rich, some are poor, some are well endowed with money and all these different things, different backgrounds and all kinds of situations. Tall people, short people, thin people, hefty people. Everybody makes up the body of Christ. You look at the example that Jesus gave when he called the disciples. You know, he didn't call well-equipped people. He called ill-equipped people. He called a tax collector, first of all. Well, let's stop and think about that. Tax collector back then was like a dog, because tax collectors were Jewish people collecting money for the Romans, who the Jewish people thought that looked at the tax collectors as traitors. Not only was it bad enough that they were tax collectors, but they also skimmed off the top. So they were pretty hated folks. So Jesus, when he was building his church, didn't seem to start off right when he called the tax collector. Then he called Peter, who can't keep his mouth shut. I mean, he's not starting the church off right, so we think. But when he died and the day of Pentecost came, those 12 unruly people took over the world for Jesus Christ. And you see, that's the example that we have in the church today. We have people that have been wounded. We have people that have gone through victories. We have people that are all from all different areas of life, all made up the church. Jesus calls it his bride. His bride. He loves his bride. Amen? Now, through Christ, God has made us a family, a community of faith. This is our God-given support system, and it's intended to meet some crucial needs in our lives. Number one, how many of you guys know that there's strength in numbers? You ever heard that before? There's strength in numbers. Now, discouragement, temptation, sin, apathy, failure, materialism, unbelieving family members, doubt, rejection, unanswered questions. We face so many obstacles in our lives, but God has not left us alone to fight by ourselves. He's given me you to help me go through stuff. Amen? He's given you me to help you go through stuff. He's given me to help you cry with you, to rejoice with you, to go to bridal showers with you. They're getting married real soon. It's awesome. I love it. But to go through every facet of life. See, God created church to be more than just numbers and members and membership roles. He's given the church to help us to overcome life. Amen? You know, the thing is, you know, you hear that blood is thicker than water, right? And that, you know, our family, it comes from a bloodline and everything else. But you know what? You and I are tied together through Jesus' blood. And trust me, that is deeper and thicker and richer and greater than any bloodline that we could ever be a part of. The blood of Jesus ties us together as believers. Amen? I'm not talking about just numbers here. I'm not talking about membership. I'm talking about a group of believers coming together to worship the same God, to sit under the teaching of God's Word, to do life together. Amen? Sundays and Wednesdays shouldn't be the only time that you see your church family. You ever heard of refrigerator rights? Anybody ever heard of refrigerator rights? My wife has, because she's heard me talk about it. You probably heard it too. But here's the thing. When you go over to a good friend's house, you don't ask to get a drink of water, do you? You just go get a drink of water. You know why? Because they're your good friend. The reason why they're your good friend is because you've went through stuff together. And because you don't feel like you have to put on your proper self in their home, you're comfortable. Because you've done life together. You've experienced things together. And as a body of believers, we are to walk through life together. See, when things got difficult with Jesus, his disciples scattered, didn't they? But Jesus never left. He's the great deciding factor in our life. He is the one that teaches us what true community is all about. Jesus truly meant it when he said, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." Forsake means to do away with, to not consider, to discard. But Jesus said, "I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will stay with you. Jesus is a rallying point for the church. Amen? So that when you may disagree with me and I may disagree with you and we may have problems back here and situations over here, but we can all rally around Jesus. Amen? We can all rally around him. Now, in the book, The Connecting Church, the author, Randy Fries, says this. He writes, the writings of Scripture leads one to conclude that God intended the church not to be one more bolt in the wheel of activities in our lives, but the very hub and the center of our lives. Amen? But see, sometimes that's what we do. The church is just one more thing that we got to do during the week. It's just one more thing that we have to accomplish. And that this is, you know, we have our activities, we have our school, we have our lunches, we have going out with friends, and then we have our religious activity that we do. Well, can I tell you that coming to church has nothing to do with religion? It has everything to do with relationship. You see, Jesus is more concerned about having a relationship with you than he is you having a religious experience about him. There's no part in Jesus where religion lives. Jesus is all about relationship. If that wasn't so, Jesus would have done everything by himself. But he chose to bring 12 people from different backgrounds, with different personalities, with different skill sets, bring them around him. He knew that they were going to irritate him. He knew that they were going to let him down. He knew that they were going to make mistakes. He knew that they were going to abandon him when he needed them the most. But he rallied these 12 around him because Jesus is relational. He's not religious. Religion tells you, here are the rules. Try to obey them if you can. Try to be good enough if you can. But a relationship says, I know you're going to mess up. I know that you're going to say things you don't mean. I know that you're going to fall short. But Jesus said, I love you anyway, and I want you around me. I want you near me. Jesus could have done this whole thing by himself. He didn't need any help. Jesus could call down legions of angels to meet his every single need, but he chose fallen people like you and I, his closest friends, to teach us that we need to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Amen? We need to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And that thing that is bigger than ourselves is the church. You know what? You fit in. Look at your neighbor and say, you fit in. You fit in right here at New Freedom.
We all fit in.
That's right. We all fit in. Did you know that your hair doesn't have to be a certain length? That you don't have to necessarily wear a button-up shirt to church to fit in. You don't have to come from a certain family or have a certain amount of money or come from a certain a background or have a certain skill set to be part of the body of Christ. You fit in. You know why? Because God uniquely designed you to fit in. Amen? Don't try to continue to improve yourself when you think that you're not ever good enough. You fit in. You belong. You have a part to play at New Freedom Church. Amen?
Amen.
You have a part to play. And so it is important that you understand that life cannot be done by yourself. You've got to be a part of something greater than yourself. And that's the church. As messed up as it is sometimes, you belong to the body of Christ. I had a lady one time, it was our landlord, Cindy McDonald. She was telling me one day, I was talking to her about the Lord, and she said, I invited her to church, and she said, I'm not going to go. She goes, there's too many hypocrites there. And you know what flipped her mind out? I said, yep, you're right. You're right. I said, there's a lot of messed up people in church. There's a lot of good people in church. There's a lot of hurting people in church. There's a lot of people that got victory in their life in church. There's a lot of people in church that have different skill sets and come from different backgrounds and going through different things. And I said, but you know what? That's the beauty of the church. You don't have to have it all together. I should get some kind of applause on that one. I mean, we do not have to have it all together. I hear people all the time saying, well, Brother Jimmy, you know, when I improve in this area in my life, when I get past this problem in my life, I'm going to start coming to church. Now, that's putting a team of horses behind the cart, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I tell them, come messed up.
Yes.
Come wounded. Come broken. Come rejoicing. Come with gladness in your heart. But come to the body of Christ. Come to church. Because it's the only place that can bring healing in your life. Amen? I tell you what, when I get down, I want to be around people that are up. I don't want to get around other people that are down. Because it pushes me down further. I want to call you and say, hey, look, man, I'm having a rough day. Can we go and go play some golf? Can we go hit some softball? You know, can we go out bowling? Can I come over and let's fix tacos together? I'm down. I need you, man. Do you know that community costs you something? It's inconvenient. It's inconvenient sometimes, because sometimes when people call you, you're in the middle of something, and they're saying, "Man, I need you. Can you come? Can you pray with me?" And you got the phone in one ear on your shoulder like this, and you're doing something over here. And sometimes we just got to stop and say, "My brother needs me. My sister needs me." And without a judgmental spirit. Without saying, you know what, this is the 10th time you call me about this. Why can't you get the victory? You say, okay, let's pray. And pray without judgment. Pray without casting doubt over them. Pray the prayer of faith over them when they can't have faith themselves. How many of you guys felt like you don't have enough faith? I need somebody else to pray over me. It's okay to admit that. It's okay to say that I'm messed up and I need somebody to help me to pray through. That's the beauty of Christ. That's what Christ fell in love with, His bride, as messed up as it is sometimes. Amen? Now, as we face trials and tribulations and tragedies in our life on earth, God intends that we be supported, strengthened, encouraged, empowered through the community of believers. We should receive strength from each other. That is God's plan. Amen? That's God's plan. When somebody suffers, we suffer. When somebody rejoices, we rejoice. That's the beauty of the church. Now, in community, do you know that you are a minister? Not just me? Not just the preacher? You are a minister. Each and every one of us. A minister isn't defined by preaching, all right? The definition of a minister is one who has overcome and is leading others to victory. That's the definition of a minister. Someone that has the victory in their life and seeing somebody else that is going through what they went through, what you went through, stopping in their life and saying, you know what? I've been through that. Let me tell you how to walk through that. Come over for supper tonight. I want to talk to you about that. Let's talk about that. That's what a minister is. They're trying to shout me down. Amen. But that's what a minister is. A minister is someone that administers compassion. You see what I'm saying? A minister isn't somebody that's way up here in the clouds of glory. A minister is down in the trenches with his sleeves rolled up, saying, come on, you can get through this. We can walk through this hand in hand. You and I, we can get through this. Let's pray. Let's pray. I'm going to pray over you, all right? Let's just pray until we believe it. That's a minister. A person that is using compassion. A person that is using his talents. A person that is using his brokenness, his victories, his joys, his finances, his talents to walk somebody else through life. Amen? To consider others over yourself. That's a minister. Not just me, all of us here in this church, sitting here listening to me preach. You're ministers. Administer the grace that God has given you. Administer the love that you have received. Administer the compassion that you have been given through the grace and love of Jesus. Because when you're doing that, you are the church. You are a minister. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 44 of Acts says this, all the believers were together and had everything in common. If we don't minister to each other through a community of faith, then many will reach a conclusion that God doesn't care for them. Now, I'm not saying, look, we gotta run around like a chicken with its head cut off trying to meet everybody's needs. That's not what I'm saying. But as you have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those who are in the faith. As you have opportunity, call someone and lift them up. Call someone and encourage them. Go by and knock on the door and say, hey, just wanted to say hi. How are you doing today? It's a wonderful feeling to minister the grace and love of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, how many of you guys know that there's difficulties in community as well? Steph got that. One of the things, the first things that I asked during the interview process was, what kind of problems can I expect to inherit if I become your pastor? The whole room started laughing. I was like, must be serious. Must be serious. But, in community, it's messy. When you stretch out your compassion, sometimes it gets stepped on. I remember being full-time back in Savannah, Church on the Rock. We'd have people coming in all the time wanting money or wanting their light bill paid or food or whatever it was. And the secretary told me one time, she goes, man, we get walked on so much. We get stepped on so much, taken advantage of so much. And yes, we try to be smart with God's money, amen? We don't just hand it out and dole it out and who you know. But I said, you know what? Loving people is messy. It's hard. Because what do you do if somebody doesn't receive that the love you're trying to give them? Realize Jesus said, it's not you they're rejecting. It's Him. See, you're giving a love that you can't naturally give. It's a supernatural love. It's not ours. So because of that, we can give it away. It's His love. It's His compassion. It's His love toward us that we give to people. So, have you ever heard the expression, the church is quick to devour their own? You guys ever heard that before? Isn't that the truth sometimes? The church is so quick to judge their own, to devour their own. When one makes a mistake, I knew it. I knew it. I knew they were doing that. And we're quick to accuse. We're quick to judge. We're quick to jump the gun. But the mark of community, true biblical community, is not the absence of conflict and difficulty, but the presence of a reconciling spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says this, all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We can reconcile because we have been reconciled ourselves. We know what it feels like to be reconciled, to be brought back into right fellowship with Jesus. Once we were away, once we were dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses, but through the grace of God, we become His son and daughter through His blood. And because we know what reconciliation is, we can now bring a spirit of reconciliation to conflict. Amen? I'm gonna promise you something. Ready? I'm gonna rub you wrong. I'm not gonna mean to. I'm gonna offend you, but I'm not gonna mean to. Sometimes we're gonna disagree. You know what? My wife and I disagree. I still love her. After she agrees with me. Jimmy, can't you be serious for 1 second? But you know, it's true. It's so true. You might as well laugh about it. That's why so many people cannot get connected in a church, because they go in wearing their feelings on their sleeve, their heart on their sleeve, and when somebody rubs them the wrong way, they're gone. They never plant roots. They never develop relationship. They never expose themselves emotionally to anybody. They're real guarded, so guarded. And when we come together as a community, there's going to be difficulties. There's going to be disagreements. But when we come at those disagreements with the spirit of reconciliation, then the whole dynamic of things changes. Because we know that at the end of the disagreement, I'm still going to love you. At the end of the disagreement, we know that God's going to be glorified. And at the end of the disagreement, we're still going to be brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not going to uproot and leave church. We're going to stay right here because God's called me here. And if God called me here, then He's not finished with me here. And if He's not finished with me here, then I've got to get along with you. Yep. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, y'all are missing plenty of opportunities to clap, shout. I don't have to preach this message again, I guess. But it's the truth. When you stick your neck out for somebody and they cut it off, it hurts. But the point is, in 1 Corinthians 5:18, all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us the blueprint to reconcile. Now, there was a group of porcupines, all right? There's about 20 of them. You guys don't even believe me already. The group of porcupines are walking in a field. It was cold. It was dark. It was in January. The blizzard, the ground was frozen. They were shivering. They couldn't burrow into anything, and so they decided to just cluster together. And the tighter they got, the closer those quills got to their skin. And they began to prick one another. And as they tried to nestle in, they were rubbing each other wrong and causing pain, unintended pain on one another, until finally they couldn't take it anymore and they split up. Some of them split up and said, I'm going it alone. And the next morning, the cluster that stayed together, even though that they hurt each other unintendedly, they still were together. They survived. The others that went it alone froze to death because they are out there by themselves. They couldn't take it. And the point is that it's human tendency to want to run from conflict, want to run from reconciling. Because no one wants to admit they're wrong. Nobody wants to admit that they have some wrong in the matter. But as children of God, knowing the blueprint of reconciliation, it is our obligation, our duty to reconcile with our brother and sister. Amen?
Amen.
To live together in a cluster of believers, a community of faith, and say, I'm with you. I'm for you. I want you to win above me. I want you to win. I want you to succeed. And if I can help you within reason, I'm going to do it. Because I want you to succeed. Amen? If you need me to pray with you, I will be there to pray with you. Because you're my family. We're connected by a root system that is called the blood of Christ. And that blood is pure. That blood is thick. That blood is rich. And it is not tainted with sin. It is perfect and pure. And it supplies nutrients to the body. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead. If you're going to clap, go ahead. If you don't want to clap, stop. Now, in Christ, we're a community of faith, a special place where we can minister and be ministered to. We need each other. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need you. Therefore, therefore, the community of faith needs to be a priority in our life. Amen. Not just some religious thing that we do on Sundays and Wednesdays. Not just so we can punch our card and say that we've went to church. No, this building is not the church. When we come in together, the church has arrived. The bride has arrived. The person that God loves has arrived. The person that Jesus died for, that thing that Jesus died for is alive and here. Amen?
Amen.
And when we leave, the church goes forth. Amen. The church doesn't stay here. We are the church. As bruised up as it looks, as gnarly as it looks sometimes, we are the body of Christ. You are my brother. You are my sister. I am your brother. And as your pastor, and just as a believer in the Lord, I choose to stand with you. I choose to support you. I choose to pray with you. I choose to give you wise counsel, even if you don't want it. Even if it hurts you to listen to it. Amen?
Amen.
I'll do that. And it's important that we understand that we are built for community. There's no lone rangers in Christianity. You don't go it alone. You don't go by yourself. I told you the first Sunday that I was here that I don't want you following behind me. I want you following beside me. Because I can see you. I can see that you're there. I know that you're there supporting me. And I'm there supporting you. So look, let's do life together. Amen?
Amen.
Let's do life together. Let's believe for one another. Let's pray over one another. Let's encourage one another and build each other up. Because that is the will of God. Amen? Let's all stand up. Let's bow our head. Father, I come before you this morning and I thank you so much. I thank you so much, Father, that you are such a grand architect. You created this thing called the church and you included me in on it. And I'm so thankful. I'm thankful, Father, that, Lord, I didn't have to measure up to be involved. I didn't have to measure up to be a member. I don't have to come from a certain bloodline or come from a certain family or come from a certain skill set. But you created me to belong. I thank you for that, God. Thank you for including me in on that. And Father, today, If there's somebody out there today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that doesn't feel connected into a body, they feel like a square peg being shoved into a round hole. All their life, they've been searching for something like this. I pray, Father, they would come to know you today as their Lord and as their Savior. That you would be master over their lives. So I want to give you that opportunity this morning with everybody's head bowed and eyes closed. If you say, Pastor Jimmy, what you preached was music to my ears. It's what I've been looking for. I don't know Christ. I want to follow him. I want to make him Lord of my life. I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to do any of those things. But if that's you and you want to accept Christ today, you want to accept his blood into your life, the redeeming blood of Jesus that washes away the sins of the world. If that's you today, I want you to just raise your hand, put it back down. I want to pray over you. Just raise it up so I can see. Okay. All right. Anybody else? You say, Pastor, I am a believer. And Lord, sometimes, for a while I haven't been connected. I haven't been devoted like I should be. And I heard the word today, and it pierced my heart, and it encouraged me to be more involved in the body. And I pray today, this morning, that you would set aside those things that clutter up your life in order that you would make coming to church, coming to a community of faith, a priority in your life. That's what I want us to do. Pray this prayer with me. Father, come before you today, and I renounce sin in my life. And I accept you, Lord, into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all of my trespasses. And I accept your word and your love and your forgiveness. And I also accept to be a part of something bigger than myself, called the church. I belong. I fit in. This is where I belong. So, Father, today, I commit myself to you, and I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. I'll serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank you and I praise you, my God, for the opportunity to speak your word today. And I ask, Lord, that each and every person would realize today how valuable they are, how much they're needed in the body. And Father, I pray today that the church be strengthened by our commitment to you and our devotion to your church. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Next Sunday, we're going to continue the series on community, on being connected. And I want you to do this. Invite somebody to come with you. Amen? Invite somebody to come with you. And if you need prayer today, special prayer, specific prayer, Dana and I are going to be right here to pray with you. So otherwise, you're dismissed. If you need prayer, come on up and we'll pray with you. Otherwise, you guys are dismissed. Love you. And we'll see you here Wednesday night at what time?
6:30.
Amen. Come on, if you need prayer, come on up. Otherwise, you guys are dismissed. Yeah, brother.
My mother-in-law, healthy back, bring her back.